For now, we're talking about a decision that many of us, we have to make at some point in time. I was asking you just now, very comfortably, without any attack, asking you, how's your relationship with your sugar? If you look at the amount of slabs you eat, the chocolates, the snacks, the sugar in your tea and your coffee, the juice, the cold drink, the fizzy drink, and you're looking back over your life, does it look like it's a good relationship? Tomorrow is World No Sugar Day. It's a very challenging thing. And now we're talking about sugar. Joining me in studio is someone who is no friend, no stranger to Impact Radio. He's a friend of the station, a friend of the show. It's Jason van Heerden, the dietitian who always gets us back on path, back focused again, to be able to make good decision when it comes to what we're putting into our mouth, especially on a day we'll be talking about sugar. Jason, welcome back. It's good to be chatting to you.
It's good to be here, Khosi. World Sugar Day, an exciting day tomorrow.
Yeah.
What is your relationship with sugar, Khosi?
Look, Jason, I was one of those people, I used to have 4 teaspoons of sugar in my rooibos. The key word that you must bold and underline is was. I am no longer having 4. On some days, I have no sugar. But the Lord's still working through me with the juice and the cold drink and the chocolates. Yeah, it's still a work in progress. So it's a growing relationship. That's what I'll say. How about you? I never get to ask a dietitian. How's your relationship with sugar?
Do you know what, Khosi? That is such a beautiful question, because you would think, but you know, as a dietitian, you know, oh, we never have sugar. We never have cakes. You'll never see us with a pizza. We only eat salads. Only eat salads as dietitians. But what I love about this, and to answer your question, is that if you look at no sugar day, I think we often think of it more as, let's say, is it a punishment day? Or is it a day that we can improve our relationship with that? Yeah. So as a dietitian, I have sugar. I have a bit of chocolate. Okay. I have all those good things. Believe it or not, okay, Dietitians are allowed to have it.
I feel better right now just by virtue of you saying that. I feel like I'm perfectly fine. But Jason, before we get to talk about the sugar itself, let's get to know more about you. I mean, dietitian is something that we see and we're already getting nervous. I already hold my head. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to tell me to cut out everything that I enjoy. But what made you fall in love with this particular career choice? And you said, this is what I want to get into.
You know, of course, that's a beautiful, beautiful question. I think because food is so beautiful, it tastes so good.
Yeah.
You say you're not going out with your friend. You're going to say, I'm going to go have a coffee.
Yeah.
You say, I'm not inviting my friends over. We're going to have a
braai.
Right. Yes, that's the one. Food is so beautiful. And we say like, oh, but we can't have bread. But God, Jesus, he had bread. He had wine. He had good food. You know, he wasn't just having salads.
Yeah.
You know, so I think with being a dietitian, it's just, I think so much of us have such a bad relationship with food, where it's so beautiful. God has gifted it to us, but also it can do so good. It can give you so much energy. If you have disease, it can really help modulate that. You know, let's say if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, all these different things.
Yeah.
And to bring it all together, you know, if you look at the, let's say, the heading of dietetics, it is the science and the art of nutrition. So it's not just about telling people about, let's say, don't have sugar, only have salads. It's about, but what is your relationship with food? What are your health goals? What is your condition? How can we incorporate these things into this that you enjoy it, that it's not a diet? I prefer a meal plan that's specified for you. So what makes me so passionate about it is liberating people, that it's not this thing of punishment, like tomorrow, World No Sugar Day. It's not a punishment. It's to say, how can we incorporate my likes and dislikes and my goals to put it all together?
Yeah, I love that. The science and art of nutrition. My goodness, I've never thought about food in that way as art. Well, yes, art, yeah. Well, I guess when it's on my plate, it looks like art, and enjoying it is definitely art. But definitely the science is something that is fresh perspective for me. But let's talk about, what are the current realities? I always start here because it helps us paint a picture of realizing just how serious sugar is. What are the effects of not keeping my relationship with sugar in check? That I get to enjoy these things. Like you're rightfully saying, food is a gift from God. Amen.
Amen.
But what are some of the challenges that I stand to face if I don't keep my relationship with sugar in check?
That is so good. So I'm going to answer it in two ways.
Sure.
So physiologically, how it affects our body, but also mentally. Okay, yeah. So two different things there. So physiologically, if we have too much sugar, the thing is our blood sugar levels can go up, our insulin levels can go up, we can become insulin resistant, we can get diabetes, we can cause us to easily gain weight if we're having too much of it as well. You know, it can lead to something called non-alcoholic alcoholic fatty liver disease. It can increase your risk of getting high blood pressure. Sure. You know, all these different things. It can affect, let's say, how well you see, if your blood sugar levels go too high as well. So it can literally affect every single part of your body.
All from the sugar.
All from the sugar. As in, if you have
excessive,
too much,
yes,
yeah, for too long. Sugar, yeah, is, yeah, in the right context, can be used beautifully. For example, how's this to flip it on its head? As a sports dietitian, I work a lot with athletes. Listen, Corsi, when they are running, they are not having sandwiches. They are having sugar. Right?
I know for a fact that I do have gels that's filled with sugar.
Exactly. So it can be used in such a beautiful way in the right context. Yeah. So, you know, there's all those other health conditions. But on the other side, the mental side, you know, if you're looking at, I want to say, did you know, let me put it to you this way, Corsi, after a long day at work, now you're driving home and you think, oh, it's been a tough day. But now, would you rather have a celery stick or would you rather have a chocolate?
The answer's already no. It's already no to the celery stick. I don't know what the alternative is, but definitely not the celery stick. And yes to the chocolate.
Yes to the chocolate. Or, you know, if you've maybe, you know, going through a tough time, would you rather have, Jose, some ice cream or would you rather have a piece of lettuce?
Absolutely ice cream.
The ice cream. Yeah. Okay. So why? And I think most people listening to this would agree to yes. I mean, I love a good celery stick. But, you know, yes, not, doesn't eat the same way chocolate does. And how that works, and I think this is so important to get across for tomorrow, is that when we have something sugary, that or even sweet, doesn't need to be sugar, like let's say a sweetener, for example, something we could get into later, your dopamine in your brain lights up. You know when someone gives you a compliment or there's this a new email that comes in or exciting opportunity, you get excited?
Yeah.
That's dopamine. But we get that same effect. The way that it lights up the brain, we also get that with sugar. So dopamine is related to pleasure and motivation, but the pleasure part, right, when we have it, we feel good.
Mm.
Okay, but I want to share an interesting study on that just to show you what the effects have.
Yeah.
There was a very interesting study done by Max Planck. Okay, so what he did is that he was now studying this. How does sugar give us this dopamine to feel better? Like, you know, what's the relationship there?
Yeah.
So if you had 1 teaspoon of sugar, you'd get a certain dopamine effect. You'd maybe feel a bit better. You kind of get this good feeling. If you have 5 teaspoons of sugar, quite a bit, okay, you'd feel like, you get kind of a bigger effect. But kind of after that, it starts flattening out.
Sure.
So where this now comes in from, to as in that effect that you get. So why I really want to bang this in for tomorrow is that full circle here, is that we are, as dietitians, we are not here to say you can never have sugar,
yeah,
but how can we healthily incorporate it into your meal plan if you want it and if you need it? So that if you want to have a chocolate, why don't you have, remember last time, those 2-finger Kit Kats we spoke about instead of the whole slab?
Yeah.
Right? Why don't you have, let's say, some rooibos tea with a little bit of honey in it? Why don't you have, let's say, a fruit? You know, something small that you can still get that dopamine effect because we know how it makes people better.
It makes us feel
good. Right? But we use it, we work with it,
yeah,
and not against it. We don't want to demonize sugar. God created sugar.
Mm.
But we want to have that healthy relationship. So that's why physiologically, yes, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, weight. On the other side, you know, we also have more serious things like, you know, eating disorders and those type of things. We'll be trying to manage that relationship.
Yeah.
So that's the full story.
That's fantastic, because I think a lot of times when I think about terrible relationship with sugar, there's 2 things that come to mind. The first is my teeth, and the second is all the health issues that you've mentioned, that I've always been drilled into constantly thinking about these 2 things. And every time I think about sugar, I always worry about these 2 things. But I also want to bring it back to you in the sense of, What does a life with good sugar health look like? And I ask this because, and as much as it looks like, well, Chrissy, that means everything is going good, that's a short answer, but there must be a lot more that then comes into, there's like a equilibrium of sort that falls into the body. Would I be right in saying that not cutting it out, or let me actually maybe say this. Would I be right to cut out sugar completely? Would my body suffer? Because there's the extreme side where I'm having as much of whatever I want until I will dip my ice cream in chocolate and have chocolate cake afterwards after having a chocolate slab this afternoon. But then there's the opposite where someone will say, I'm not touching sugar whatsoever. I don't have sugar in my coffee. My cereal has no sugar. Sugar is not even bought as part of my grocery list.
Mm.
Is that even healthy? Could that be healthy? Or is there a point where we're needing to have some sort of sweetening for the sake of the body? Is the opposite version of this?
Yeah, Jose, that is such a beautiful question. So technically, we don't need to have refined sugar.
Oh.
If you went about your day and let's say, you know, you had your good oats and then you had, let's say, you know, for a snack, some good yogurt, and then you had for, let's say, for lunch, you know, and you had no sugar throughout the day, that's not bad on the body at all.
Okay.
You know, so it's not that you'd be missing out on any health benefits. You know, sugar doesn't necessarily have, it has minimal amounts of, let's say, other nutrients in. Yeah. Like, it's got small little bit of wee vitamins in it. Insignificant, though.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be missing out. However, the thing is, from a, let's call it a psychological perspective, if the family has, let's say, chocolates and they're handing it out, and you feel like, oh, no, I cannot have chocolate, and you feel excluded from that social environment, you know, if that doesn't affect you, that's fine. But if it does, and you feel that kind of, there's a bad relationship, that almost like guilt or exclusion that happens, even though that's not physiological, you know, we have to ask ourselves, that's what I always like to talk about, the physiological, how it affects the body and how it affects the soul, let's say, as well.
Yeah.
But technically, you would not need sugar.
Okay, that's good to know, because I think there's some people that's always wondering that they've made the decision to cut it out completely, and they're wondering if there's any health side effects that they might encounter at a later point in life. But now, Jason, I want to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow's World No Sugar Day. And it can almost sound like a, oh my goodness, this is, like you rightfully said, punishment day.
Yes.
Like, cut out all the sugar in your life. But let's talk about, you know, maybe for us as Impact 103 listeners, what would be a good challenge for us to try for one day? To try, venture out into the world where our relationship with sugar looks a little bit better. Hypothetically, like I was saying earlier, I had 4 teaspoons of sugar in my rooibos, and now I toy around with 0 to maybe like 1 every once in a while. What would be a good challenge that you would leave us with to then maybe say, hey, how can we better the relationship and not exactly sever the ties that we have with sugar for one day tomorrow? What would you recommend?
Oh, Jose, that gives me such excitement to answer that question. So I want to answer that in 2 ways. So the one I really wanted to get across, that we often think of, let's say, a day like this as punishment, or is it a day to improve myself? And if we're looking at the part of improving myself, there's 2 main takeaways, and these are very tactical things. Either we could look at an alternative option or an alternative portion.
Okay,
so let's get tactical on this. So let's say, for example, for oats in the morning, you have 3 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Could you look at A, reducing the portion from 3 to 1? Maybe. Do you have to, maybe tomorrow go to 0? Maybe. But maybe if you find that, because if you go to 0, are you not likely to go back to 3 the next day? Or what about I try just 1 tomorrow? Let me just see how it goes. So, or, you know, we can take it away because there's no World Sugar Day. But on the other hand, we could look at, what about an alternative? What about something like a sweetener, like, let's say, stevia, natural, comes from a plant. It's got no calories in it. It tastes very nice. You know, some people complain of other sweeteners having a bit of aftertaste. So there you go. You've got now a different portion, different alternative. Yeah. What about at 3 o'clock? You have that slump. It's been a long day. It's getting hot. Okay. And you think, oh man, I just want to have some chocolate.
Yeah.
What about we say, okay, what about we look at a different portion? So I'm always going to go back to the 4-finger Kit Kat. If I give you a 4-finger Kit Kat, Corsi, are you going to leave? And I told you to have 2 pieces. Are you going to leave with 2 pieces or 0 pieces this room?
Look, I'm going to be leaving with nothing. Even the wrapper's thrown away here. Staying in the studio. I'm having all 4.
Exactly. Meanwhile, if you were to psychologically and use this to your advantage, if you get 2 2-finger Kit Kats and you have 1 today and maybe 1 tomorrow, you've half the amount of sugar you've had. Let's say, you know, different as needed in the week. Or an alternative. What about you say, do you know what? I really, really like apples. Or I really love something that's in season, pear, some kiwis, whatever it might be. And you have that next to you. It's in your room. You don't need to go downstairs, find it. You don't need to, you know, get it from, you know, your favorite store. Yeah. It's here with you. And you're actually like, but apples actually are really good. And I actually just wanted that sweetness, but I can get it from that. So instead of saying absolutely no sugar, what about a different alternative about that? You know, and then at night, let's say with your tea, if you are now going to now have, let's say, you normally have lots of sugar in it, what about a sweetener? What about some rooibos tea with just a little bit of honey? It might just be enough for you.
Yeah.
It's an alternative and portion. That's the challenge.
I'm actually writing it down right now as you're saying it, looking for an alternative and different portion. I quickly want to touch on something. So we're going to close off with this. I'm running out of time, but I've got 2 questions that I want to ask you, and I want to try squeeze them in before we get to 5 o'clock. The first one being, there's people that say they've tried to cut out sugar. I've got a message, someone coming through over here. So Lofelo says, I tried to cut out sugar and have suffered some from withdrawals. Are there any ways that I can be able to avoid that? Are there some tips to try decreasing? Is it going back to alternatives and different portion?
Yes, that is the one side. when we look at side effects, because sugar is not a stimulant, like quickly, if let's say you're having lots of caffeine and energy drinks and you were to cut back on that, yes, you would get side effects. Over a few days, it would go away. However, with, let's say, pulling back from sugar, if it is that you use that to keep your blood sugar levels going, as in, let's say you only had lunch at, let's say, 1 and you had supper at 8 and you needed that chocolate at 5 just to, because your blood sugar was crashing and you stopped taking it, you will definitely get, let's say, withdrawal symptoms, and that your sugar's coming down, your energy's coming down. Meanwhile, what if you had that fruit? What if you had those nuts that you packed? What if you had that yogurt that you packed that would sustain your energy? Would you get those, let's say, if the withdrawal symptoms that they're speaking about now being from low blood sugar levels, I think that would be the solution.
Oh, jeepers, you just sent a message saying you've just described me 100% in that example. And lastly, Jason, before I let you go, there's parents that may be listening to this and they're thinking about how do I better my children's relationship with sugar? Because that's a very important thing. We see this from a young age. We see it in their teeth. We see them growing into sugar dependency. How does a parent do that now in their lunchboxes where they don't get to see what happens at school and they're just like, here you go.
I'm going to give you two very tactical things. So the one is, and it might be the opposite of what you're going to think, and it basically comes to how the parents themselves and their relationship with sugar. Give you an example. So if, you know, many of my friends grew up that you say, like, you only get that chocolate once you've done this thing and you've only passed this exam and only once you've had your vegetables. But is that a good relationship with food? You know, if we're kind of forcing it on that, you know, that's the question to ask. Meanwhile, if you as the parent say, look, I'm going to have 2 blocks of chocolate, you would have 2 blocks, because they see, oh, but it's not a punishment. It's just part of life. It's not something that I need to strive for in order to deserve for. It's just something that we have every now and then. It's not every night, let's say, but it's 2 chocolates. I have 2. Dad is 2, you know, and that's how it is, that it's, we shouldn't create this big gap between deserving it. Because also what we find is often with my students, when they leave the house, they've just learned, oh, but now that I've got my freedom, I'm just going to have a whole slab. Meanwhile, I found it, especially with a lot of my clients, that, but we always grew up having 2 blocks of chocolate every Friday night. And I still do it because it's that healthy relationship. That's an interesting one. So parents, maybe you should start eating chocolate. Just have the right portion sizes. Be the good example.
They're probably getting stressed already. They're thinking, Jason, you're supposed to give me a solution, not put me up as the solution myself. Jason, it's always great to be chatting to you. I feel like this could be such a longer conversation. There's so many different other things that we didn't speak about. But like I said, you're a friend of the station, friend of the show. I look forward to having you back, talking about other things so that we can just make better, healthy decisions that help us be good stewards of this body and our health that the Lord has blessed us with. So thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Corsi. And remember, don't view tomorrow as a punishment.
Ish.
Use it as an opportunity to better have a positive relationship with food. God has made food to be good, and good food, let food be good to you, and let you be good to food.
Ah, love it. God has made food to be good. That's where we'll... No, not exactly. I'm not going to leave it there. If anything, I'm going to leave it here with this good challenge. Tomorrow is World No Sugar Day, and I'd love for us to actually take up the challenge. For you, your children, whoever you are, wherever you are, whoever's around you, drag them into this challenge. That instead of saying we're not going to have sugar completely, try one of these two things. One, try an alternative to the way you'd usually have sugar, or try a different portion. And who knows, it might just change your relationship with sugar.